Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is March 4th. It is Thursday. It is Friday Eve. And you all know what that means. We are coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. It is Cigars with the Cave Show. We do this bad boy every single Thursday. The one, the only Ed Cole will be joining me lately. I keep giving you these clues so you know it's Thursday. Here's here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about the Suns and where they are, where they're going, the direction that we think they're going to be going in. Chris Paul, sound from him, talking about what's up next, talking about the way they played in L.A., a lot of stuff to get into. Jim Boeheim is continuing to be a jerk. He's on his I'm old crankity and I'm on my jerk tour. So we'll talk about that. Quarterbacks carousel continues. We had a quarterback sign today, so we'll get into that. The NCAA is going to let people in. So a lot of stuff to get into. And Jim Boeheim isn't the only coach that's being an idiot. Grant McDermott is being an idiot. And we'll say why. And we're going to break that down. So I'm going to save that because that deserves more than just a couple quick words. So we're going to save that until after the first segment. But all that we'll get into right here on the Cave Show on Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday. And, oh, by the way, Ed and I picked our all-star teams. We're your teams. It's not fair. It's not fair. But like I said, we're coming to you live from Maduro and Fine Cigar and Tobacco. $49.91 South Alma School. Get down here and let them know that PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase just by mentioning my name. Become a member as well. Get you access to a locker that backs up to a humidor. Couches, TVs, everything. It's your home away from home. So definitely come down here and check it out. They do serve beer and wine, so you can have your adult beverage. I can tell you this now. I will be here for at least 2 days of March Madness. So there's your teaser. Right there, you'll know where I'm going to be. Get down here, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you can't make it down, no worries. Go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Get your cigars ordered early enough in the day. They will ship out the exact same day. All that happens here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, remember, you don't have to be a member. It's just a perk. But if you're not, plenty of space for you. Plenty of TVs, best place in the valley to get your sticks from. Thank you for joining us here on the Cave Show with PLR. Like I said, I'm not alone. You know what Mondays and Thursdays are. I don't do this thing by myself. On with me right now, the one, the only, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Ed Cole. What up, bro?
I was just really trying to be nice to you when we put our teams together. You know, you got a really good squad. But the squad I got, man, they're unstoppable. I don't know how your team can beat mine.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going to give this number out because that's an argument we're going to save for a little bit later on, because I don't want you to have to live with this the whole show. So I'm going to save it for a little bit later on, so you only got to get it for a little bit. But the call-in number is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. If you want to call in, now's the time. Tomorrow is tentatively scheduled for a best of show due to Arizona Diamondbacks coverage for me, but we'll see as the day goes on. I'll tweet out what it will be. But that's the number. Let's open up the lines. Cave Show with PLR and the one, the only, Ed Cole.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey,
sounds
Lou.
Like Lou to me, Ed.
How are
yep.
you, buddy?
What's going on, my hey, friend?
That's Lou.
All right, Paul. And I'm working on a breaking story here. I think you might know what's going on, but I'll refresh your guys' memory just in case. You remember how we all thought that Big Ben was going to call it quits after the season? Well, uh-uh. Just got a deal signed. He's going to come back for one more year.
Ed, are you? We talked about this a little while
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, there were questions as to whether Ben would come
True.
Back, especially
mm-hmm.
after that loss to the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. But some reports came out that that Ben's going to come back this year. The Steelers announced that. So I think it's great, and we'll see what happens with the Steelers and if Ben can be hopefully effective again. It's another season for him, and I know he's determined to wipe off what happened in the playoffs and the way that the season ended for the Steelers last year. And I'm sure he's got unfinished business. That was a bad taste in his mouth, Lou
yes.
and Paul, that the season ended the way it did.
Yeah, well, when you figure with, you know, all the COVID that happened with the team and whatnot, they just lost their momentum, you know, after such a hot start of 11-0. They just lost it, and they never recovered from it.
That's the most polite crap I heard. They couldn't run the ball at all. And his receivers couldn't separate.
Oh.
And as the season went on and as the film came out, they saw they couldn't run. Juju Smith-Schuster is not a number one wide receiver. He's
That's
a great
true.
Number two if you have a good number one. And they just couldn't do a lot of things, and then their defense got banged up. And now if you can't run the ball, your defense is backed up, and your best receiver is really your number two receiver. And Ben's arm started to give out, and they started to do stuff like, Eddie, you can correct me if I'm mistaken. They sat him the last game, not just for rest, but to preserve what he had left in that surgically repaired arm. So I don't want to call the Steelers a farce last year with that 11-0, but that 11-0 record wasn't the same team
misleading.
The last part of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Misleading?
Very misleading.
So they
were a completely different team. They were a completely different team once they lost to Washington, and things
just really
spiraled out of control. And like you said, Paul, they couldn't run the ball. It was just clearly not a different team. They had so many injuries on defense. It was not the same team that we saw in the first 11 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it made a difference. I think it's a good deal, though, to be honest with you. You got to bring him back a year. They've got Edge guy out of the Washington football team as a young quarterback. Maybe they can develop him and he can show some stuff that'll keep him there. You had to do something with Ben. You may as well pay him less money to play because he's still your best option. What was it, Ed? $21 million dead money? So you couldn't just cut him. You had to do something with him.
No.
Yeah, so what they did, so according to Adam Schefter, they reduced his pay to $14 million from $19 million of his contract. So they saved some money.
I was just gonna say that down $5 million from $19 million to $14 million. Well, that's what it's gonna get him to stay. I mean, because if it was to me, like, well, I really don't want to leave. Look, I'll take a pay cut, even though it's gonna suck. But I'll do what I gotta do to stay. I'd do the same thing.
Well, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I love what Pittsburgh usually does. They do a good job of it. They usually get rid of guys a little early than a little late. But right now, I just think he's their best option going into the year. But how good, Ed, would it be if the kid from Washington that got cut for being immature and not wanting to work realized, Mr. Haskins, that he does have some talent, put the work in, learn behind Big Ben, and go from there?
I would sure hope so, because the chances are going to be few and far between if Dwayne Haskins Jr. really messes up in Pittsburgh. If he's already shown that he couldn't get it right in his home state, in his hometown, to play for the Washington football team. So if he doesn't go to Pittsburgh and right his ship and get himself together and mature, get himself together as a man, then it's going to be really dicey for him to get a third chance in this league. Although, you can't really say that, because as long as you're healthy, you've got two healthy arms and two healthy legs. There's a lot of teams that could use a guy like Dwayne Haskins Jr. We've seen a lot worse quarterbacks be backups or starting quarterbacks in this league than Dwayne Haskins Jr. from a talent standpoint.
I agree. Lou, we got time for one more. If you have one quick one for us.
Would you care to share the rest of us about your all-star picks?
Ah, you got to listen. You got to keep listening for that. I'll just say this. I'll give you a hint. My team is athletic. They can shoot, and they're big.
Okay.
Your team is athletic, and you can shoot. Uh-huh. My team is big, and we've got one of the greatest shooters ever. We've got a Hall of Fame point guard, just a little tease, Lou. And we've got defense on our team. We've got a triple-double guy. So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You gonna
believe? I'll leave it at that.
All right, my friend. Always good to catch up with you.
Thank you. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Lou.
Yeah, thanks, Lou.
Hey, let's jump a little early to this commercial so we can get into some of the stuff that's going on. This is the Cave Show with PLR and the one, the only, Ed Cole.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up! Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR, the one and only Ed Cole, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Cigars with The Cave Show every single Thursday. We are here, we are live, you need to get your butt down here. Check it out. Listen, and let me tell everyone something. Picking a cigar isn't like going into your favorite convenience store and saying, "Hey, let me get a pack of Cools or a pack of Benson and Hedges. Cigars are something that has to be paired to your likings, to your taste, to where you are on the cigar smoking spectrum. You don't walk into a cigar place and wrap cigar just because your grandfather smoked them. You pair to what you need, and there's no place better than getting you paired up with what you need than here. Ron, Tina, these guys will 100% take care of you. They'll find out where you are, and they'll make suggestions based on you and where you are. And like I said, all that happens down here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Make sure that if you ever miss the show, 3 o'clock is a replay, KSRN. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps. You always go to the sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Hit that listen live button, and there we are live on BTR as well as KSRN. So we're here. We're ready for you, ready to give you the best there is. As usual, every Monday and Thursday, former digital media director of the Washington football team, as well as Insight Sports' very own Ed Cole hangs with me. That's my brother, my boy, my partner in crime, even though he can't really draft an NBA All-Star team. But with that all being said, Brother Ed, did I say something?
No. I got a guy on the team 40 points and 19 rebounds last night. So, I got a defensive player of the year candidate on my team. Just a little bit of a hint for the listeners.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Notice I haven't dropped hints. See, I'm a big puncher.
Oh, okay.
I don't have time to jab. I'm just going to hit him with a haymaker a little bit later. But speaking of speaking of haymakers, the Suns delivered a haymaker Tuesday night against the LA Lakers without Devin Booker, who was ejected, without Chris Paul playing his best game, and without DeAndre Ayton in the fourth quarter. And if this team found a way to go into L.A., beat a shorthanded Lakers team, but they still had LeBron,
mm-hmm.
what did this team show you?
Yes, sir.
In winning that game?
Oh, my. Yeah, we talked about it on Courtside with PLR and Ed Cole earlier today, that the Suns are they're white hot. They're number two in the Western Conference. They just came off a 3-0 road trip to Chicago, Minnesota, and then they flew back cross-country and beat the world champions at Staples Center. Despite LeBron James' 38 points, he was very good. And Dennis Schroeder came back. He was there. He had 17. But the fact that Devin Booker got ejected for just a ridiculous reasons, the Phoenix Suns could have folded, as Jay Crowder talked about in the postgame. They could have folded. They could have held their. They could have like shrugged their shoulders and said, "Oh, woe is us. We're done. Our star, our guy is out. Devin Booker's gone." We could just pack it up and say, "Okay, we're done. You know, we played a good game up until this point, and we just get. You know, we just play out the string of the game." But no, they fought. They kept fighting because they knew it was a huge game against the world champions. If you're the team, if you're going to be coming out of the Western Conference, the team to beat are the world champions, and they had to have that game in Los Angeles the other night, and they stayed strong. They didn't let that bother them. They just rallied and just – the troops just rallied, Paul, and they just believed in each other, and they came out with that victory.
Why don't we play what Jay Crowder said? It's just him talking about the team and that game.
Well, it feels great. Obviously, we've been on the road, and we're just trying to get better each and every game, but I honestly felt today we got better. I came in the locker room. I told the guys that. I felt like without Devin, Devin left us in the third quarter, and we could have folded or we could have stepped up to the challenge, and we decided to step up to the challenge. But overall, as a group, we got better. I can honestly say that I felt that, and I felt like our coaches feel that. But we know, because we know what Devin can do, but we just got to continue to tighten the screws around him and around him and Chris, and just be the best players we can be for our team and to get us where we need to be. So honestly, today, we feel like we really got better.
Ed, no one feels sorry for you when your best player's out. The Lakers see that without, obviously one of their best players out. No one feels sorry for you. You got to go out there and perform. And that's exactly what this team did.
Yes, nobody is going to cry a river for you because your star player got ejected, again, for stupid reasons. But this is a team that is strong. They're mentally strong and they're physically strong and they believe in themselves. That's why they're 23-11. And with that win over the Lakers, they're number two behind the Utah Jazz in the Western Conference. And with the Jazz struggling lately, losing two straight, a game tonight against the Golden State Warriors, minus Steph Curry and minus Draymond Green from all reports. Neither one of those men flew to Phoenix. So they're going to be minus Curry and Draymond Green tonight. So you would seem like it would be an easier road for the to victory for the Suns against the Warriors. But still, regardless of that, they still got to play 48 minutes of basketball. But the fact that they were 12-3 in February, Devin Booker was named the Kia Western Conference Player of the Month for February. He was also named the Player of the Week too. But Devin Booker just balls out. This team balls out. You got guys coming off the bench like Dario Saric had 21 the other night. Abdul Nader had 8 points. Cam Johnson had 9 points. Cam Payne didn't score anything in his 10 minutes, but he was still effective. You don't always have to score points to be effective on a basketball team, but everybody contributes, PLR, to the success of the Phoenix Suns, and it's showing. They're 12-5 on the road, PLR. That's hard to do in the National Basketball Association. Win 12 out of 17 on the road?
Listen. This team is a good team, and what I'm glad that they're getting the national games, so they're not hidden behind the scenes. People can see what they're doing, and like I said, they're a team with two bona fide superstars. Even though one of them is the most disrespected superstar in the league, they are a team with two bona fide superstars. Here's the thing, though. Here's what I love about
Paul,
this team.
You've got a third superstar growing in the middle, and he's only 22.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. They're going to have a problem in a couple of years. You're going to have DeAndre Ayton up for a new deal, and you're going to have Mikal Bridges up for a new deal. And let me tell you something. For those of you that like to sleep, wake up. Mikal Bridges is an incredible ball player. And, Ed, I'm not saying this with any disrespect, and you know I've been saying this forever. Letting Kelly go and keeping Cam and Mikal Bridges was probably one of the smartest business moves, only on seeing the talent growing, but financially. For now, beautiful move. But Chris Paul, they just had a Zoom meeting, a pregame, shoot-around meeting, and he talked about what's going to happen with this team. Real short and sweet after the break and what they needed to do. And the question was put to him by the one only Dwayne Rankin from AZ Sports. And so Dwayne asked that, you know, you got a good first half, but what are you looking to build on? And this is what CP3 said.
Just want to keep building, making sure we play the right way, keep building on our defense, keep building on our principles and execution, you know, trying to put the full game together.
And messaging starts up and goes down. You hear Champ, the GM, all the time, said we got to put together a team. We want a team with grown-ups, we want a team with adults, and we want to put together a team that has a culture of defense. Monty Williams, defense has to be consistent. Defense, defense, defense. Devin Booker, I want to be able to guard my position. Chris Paul, defense. You go out and you draft Mikal Bridges, a 3-and-what guy? A 3-and-D guy, defense. You get a big center to anchor the middle, and everyone talks about his offense and he needs to be more aggressive. But whenever you have a 7-footer in there clogging up space, that's defense. You go out and you get Jay Crowder, just a pure bulldog eater on defense. Defense, defense, defense. Ed, this team is different.
And that defense is going to carry them really far into the playoffs as they continue to get better. And they're going to be that much more dangerous once that second half of the season starts. 23-11 is a fantastic start, but just wait until after that All-Star break. And as they continue to win, more of those nationally televised games will come for the Phoenix Suns, and even more people across the country and around the world who really didn't know that the Phoenix Suns are where they are right now, they will realize that this is a solid, contending basketball team, and this is a team that could very well come out of the Western Conference. As well as they're playing right now, they are as strong a basketball team top to bottom as you're going to find in this association.
And on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR and one and only Ed Cole coming to you live on Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday. And what is a successful year for Phoenix? And I say that in a team that was winning 15 games 3 years ago to a team that showed out in a bubble last year and missed the playoffs by one game to a team now that's 23-11 before tonight's game going into the All-Star break. What is a successful season?
Wow, if they win tonight, they'll be 24-11 in the All-Star break. A team, you've got 72 games. If they can win, if they can double that, if they can go like 48-24, if they can win close to 50 games, that would be great. 50 out of 72 games will be great, and they make a deep run into the playoffs, potentially making it to the Western Conference Finals. We don't know, but that would be great to at least make it that far. And win or lose, if they make it that far, win or lose, be great if they win and go to the NBA Finals. That would be phenomenal. But for them to make a deep run in the playoffs and really set the NBA on fire, and again, just bring more attention to this organization and let everybody know that, hey, the Suns are on the rise. Don't sleep on this basketball team. Yes, they've had a lot of lean years over this past decade, haven't made the playoffs in a decade. Outside of the Sacramento Kings, who haven't made it in 14 years, they're the team with the second longest playoff drought in the NBA right now. For them, just a deep playoff run for a team that hasn't made it in a decade would be great. That's what that is what I would love to see from this basketball team. How about you?
So let me answer this. And yes, no questions. Let me answer the question. If they make the playoffs, is it successful? Is that a successful season? If they win the first
Monty
round.
Williams would, no, that's not successful. Monty's vision and James Jones' vision, and I'm sure every player that's on this team, their goal is to win a world championship. Their goal is to hoist that trophy at the end of the season as world champions and get that jewelry when those rings get made. That's their ultimate goal, and if they don't make that, then the season's a failure.
See, here's where I differ just a little bit. I think everyone's ultimate goal is to win their last game. It is, because if you don't win it all, it didn't go the way you wanted it to. But
right.
I also want to keep expectations in perspective. If they just make the playoffs, no. I think they're a good enough team to win a first round and possibly a second round. I don't want to put a ceiling on what they could do, but we know the NBA. There's never been really a team that has gone from not making the playoffs. That stuff only happens in football. From not making the playoffs to knowing how to close out games in the playoffs. You almost have to fail before you succeed. And if we look back over the teams that have won a title, they've all failed before they succeeded. I mean, last year, let's not go to last year because that was a different season. 2 years ago, Toronto failed always in the playoffs before they got over the hump. Golden State failed a couple years under Mark Jackson before they got over the hump. Hell, even Miami with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch failed before they got over the hump. So even though I know that's what James says and that's what Monty says, it's rare in basketball for a team to just ascend to that point. Do you think that we're putting, not you and I, but as a city, the more they win, you think the expectations are getting a little bit like, wow, this team can win it all. We know there's a playoff mm-hmm. LeBron. We know there's a playoff Kawhi. We know there's a playoff Dame because they've all done it. We don't know what and I believe me, I think Booker will be fine. But we don't know playoff Book. We don't know playoff Mikal. We don't know playoff Aiden because we've never seen him. Do you think we have to be careful in what our expectations are jumping to?
Isn't it great to have those expectations, though, Paul? Considering, again, we go back to the last decade, there hasn't been many expectations at all for this basketball team to be where they are right now. It's been a lot of really dry seasons. But now that we have a season just full of the fountain is overflowing, the dam is overflowing as far as success goes with the Phoenix Suns this year. So why can't we just dream, Paul, that they make a deep run into the playoffs? It's okay to dream and wish that your hometown basketball team makes a run, because they're certainly equipped to do that. But as you say, it'll be a different once that second season comes. Everything just completely changes, and your mindset has to change from a coaching standpoint and a player standpoint, because things get so much tighter, as we saw in the bubble last year. Even though they went 8-0, things are really different once you hit that second season and the playoffs come around. Things you could do in the regular season, it's very hard to do it in the postseason.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Ed Cole here on Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday on the Cave Show PLR. Real quick, before we go to break, tonight,
yes, sir.
They close out. The team seems really, really focused. They're playing against Steph. Steph's balling. Are you worried about the way they close out tonight at all? And if so, why?
No, because I read the article on the four letter that said Steph and Draymond Green did not travel with Golden State, so they're not playing tonight. So that takes away two major cogs of the Golden State Warriors. So I know the Suns are not going to discount this game just because Steph and Draymond are reportedly not going to play. I think that Monty's going to have his guys ready to go. They know they're ready to go. And I don't think they're going to have a letdown from that win against the Lakers. I think they're going to just finish strong because they know that they know how important every victory is in the National Basketball Association, especially a Western Conference win, a team win against a division rival. You want to go 24-11. You want to be able to just go strong into the All-Star break because that sets everybody up well. And it's a great feeling to go into the All-Star break with a series of wins.
I'm with you. Well, listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to jump sports. We're going to talk a little bit of football before we get back into NCAA hoops. And before you guys find out how I outdrafted the team
better.
Of the teasers.
My team's better.
Show.
My
PLR.
Team's better.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with Pierre Law."
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikel Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Cigars with the Cave Show, Cave Show with PLR, the one only Ed Cole. I'm trying to educate this brother. I'm trying to get him on this music trip.
Okay.
Make sure you follow us on social media at the Sports Cave on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com. Cave is with a K as well. You can get me at PLR on Sports. Real quick, everyone, this segment is brought to you by Scout and Sellers' very own wine consultant, Tina Calhoun. It is the best wine that you can get. No added sugars, no chemicals, just fresh, pure wine. If you're down with that, make sure you get a hold of her, 602-410-4821. She is the best consultant you can find with Scout and Sellers. I'll give you that number one more time, 602-410-4821. If you want your wine without sugar or chemicals, she is the person to get a hold of. Marinating in the background is something Ed knows nothing about. So let me just turn it up and let him kick to it. And you good with that? Oh, and by the way, real quick, before we continue, not only will you get the best wine, you get free wine tasting. So, can't beat that.
Oh.
Ed, Big Ben signed. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Quarterbacks are kind of moving around. There's some quarterbacks. I'm going to give you three names. I want you to tell me. I'll let you break it down. I'm going to just be quiet and listen. Will they stay with their same team? Will they move? If they move, why will they move? Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, and what's going to happen in New Orleans with Jameis? Will he be back as their guy?
Dak, he's winning close to Patrick Mahomes' money from all accounts, and I don't know if the Cowboys want to pay him that much. They gave him an offer sheet last year. They offered him money that wasn't equivalent to what he was wanting. He's wanting $40 million plus. So until the Dallas Cowboys come up with $40 million plus, which I don't know if Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones will ever come up with, if they want to keep Dak Prescott, then he's either going to sign that franchise tag or he's going to go to another team and tie in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is on the radar of Jerry Jones from all accounts. Jerry Jones would love to make a deal and bring Russell Wilson down there. So it could – Joanna and I talked about that on Inside Sports Talk. Could it become a scenario where Dak got signs the franchise tag and he agrees to go to Seattle and they make the swap that way? And Dak Prescott goes to Seattle and Russell Wilson comes back down to Dallas, because we all know it's been all over the news that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are not on good terms right now. So if Pete Carroll can't smooth this thing over and make Russell happy and get some talent in there from an offensive line standpoint, in other words, and actually listen to Russell Wilson, then I don't know if that relationship can last this year, or they deal him before the season starts, or if he does this season, then they deal him after that. But Russell, it's very rocky up there in Seattle right now, up in the Pacific Northwest between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. So he potentially could go. Russell has, by all reports, four teams he would like to go to if a trade were to be made. The Saints, you talked about the Saints. The Saints, the Raiders, the Bears, your Bears, and the Dallas Cowboys. So that'll have to play out over the coming weeks, and we'll just see if the relationship between him and the Seahawks continues to deteriorate and something has to be done in that situation. With the New Orleans Saints, we don't know what Drew Brees is going to do. That workout video came out last week, and everybody went crazy because it went viral, and people are wondering if Drew's going to come back because he's working out, and they're – all Saints fans are excited, and all Drew Brees fans are excited because, oh my gosh, Drew Brees is working out. Does that mean he's going to come back to the New Orleans Saints? We don't know. Drew still hasn't made that decision, and if he does, he comes back for another season. I know you don't really care for Noodle Arm, as you refer to him as. Is Jameis Winston the future for the New Orleans Saints if Drew Brees doesn't come back? Possibly. I don't even know if Taysom Hill is the future for – I don't know if he's a legitimate starting quarterback, and would he be a legitimate starting quarterback in New Orleans, or is he just a gadget guy that just looks really good at times as a quarterback, and other times he's really good in so many other situations and so many other roles for the New Orleans Saints? But would Sean Payton like to have Jameis Winston as his starting quarterback, or would he like to have somebody like Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? All this stuff is so much up in the air. I know they love that. They probably love to have Russell, but there's so many things that we just don't know about Paul, and so many things that have to happen. And we haven't even mentioned Deshaun Watson.
I didn't mention him for two reasons. One, let me start at the beginning. If I'm Seattle, Russell Wilson ain't going nowhere. One, he's too much dead money hit if he does. So he could talk about if he wanted to go somewhere where he would go. I'm not trading him. Him and Pete, they've had a good relationship in the past. They need to go somewhere and have a bowl of soup and work it out. Because no one argues.
Yeah, over that, right. That would be a killer. That would be a killer cap hit for them. That'd be catastrophic for them.
So he's not going anywhere. Two, honestly, Taysom Hill is not a starting quarterback for anybody because he's not a quarterback. He's a gadget guy. Plain and simple. If he was their answer, they wouldn't be asking a question. And they're asking questions. If they wouldn't want to bring back a Noodle Arm if he could play quarterback. I think Jameis, honestly, and I've said this and I'll continue to say this, if the Chicago Bears are smart, they will throw money at Jameis and not allow New Orleans to even re-sign him. I don't think they should go out and trade the farm for Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson, I would say yes. Make reasonable trades for offers. If they want two number one picks, give it to them. If they want three, give it to them. But
why Deshaun and Russell, Paul?
One, he's younger. And two, if I'm going to give up all those picks, I want to do it for someone who's 25 and has a whole bunch of years left, and not someone who's 31 that's been sacked 405 times in the last 9 years.
Who would ask for more, Houston or Seattle? I think Houston would ask for more.
Houston's not even talking to people. So you may as well just hang up. I mean, they're just hanging up on people. So if I'm Houston, and I can't believe I'm saying this because you know me, I always side with the players, I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't do it. I would tell him, look, either you make up your mind and try to come back, or you just sit out.
You play.
I wouldn't blink.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't blink. And if that happened, now I switch back to the player. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I sit out till week six. And come in and get my year of service time. So I honestly think they should keep this fight going until one of them decides, you know, what they're going to do. But I wouldn't go either way. And then a quarterback I didn't leave out, Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone gives up more than a future first-round pick for him, they're smoking crack. Because he was a turnover machine at USC. And, yeah, I know his coach sucked. In the NFL, but he was also a turnover machine there. I got to see him play. And would I take a flyer on him possibly for the right deal, but I wouldn't give up my number one pick this year or next year. It'd have to be down the line a little bit. If a team that's in need of a quarterback can give up a number one and maybe a number three, I'd take that. But other than that, let him stay in New York. Let them deal with his fifth-year option next year. So that's where I stand on the QBs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think Robert Saleh would take a year with Sam Darnold, and I would think that hopefully he would look a lot better under a different regime, under a different – just a different coaching staff and a different – as opposed to what he had the last couple of seasons since he came to the Jets, which was an absolute disaster.
Yeah, and a joke of a coach, which was just utterly ridiculous. The guru, the quarterback whisperer, went, last I checked, yeah, I'm pulling the scab off this bad boy. But the last time I checked, quarterback gurus didn't sound like this.
It's either.
Maybe that's just me. But, hey, I want to stick in the college and on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on Cigars with the Cave Show, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, the one, the only, Ed Cole, Inside Sports, former digital media director for the Washington football team. I want to stick in college, but I want to jump to a couple of true idiots right now. And I'm not saying, but they're doing some real idiotic things. Jim Boeheim, we just had his sound from last week when he's all in Jalen Johnson's business, Duke's business. And now he tells a reporter, you know, you're 5'2", you've never played. How dare you ask me that question? Is he just a cantankerous old dude? Or has he been a quote-unquote elite coach so long that he feels above answering tough questions?
I don't know, Paul. He's merely making himself look bad, especially starting with the Jalen Johnson situation, with him saying the comments that he made about Jalen Johnson and the Duke program up until the point where he came back and backtracked and said that he had never saw Jalen Johnson. Then before that, he had said that the team wasn't that good when he was there and they looked much better after he was gone. But you claim that you had saw him, but then you come back and say you have not saw him. And then now this situation comes out with this reporter. And as you said, the comment about the 5'2", and it's really making Coach Boeheim look foolish.
I don't think he should be suspended or anything like that, but I think the administration should make him issue an apology. I really do. And this isn't just taking a reporter's side. There's a matter of respect that your position brings. And I think you should have that respect. Hopefully I didn't lose it.
Bro, I'm sorry. I had to go grab the door. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Would you ask me? I'm sorry.
I think that there has to be a level of respect, and I'm not just saying that because he insulted a reporter, but they should make him issue an apology. There's no way he should just sit there, say whatever, and just feel like he has a right to just say whatever.
Yes, because ultimately, Paul, when it comes down to it, he is representing Syracuse. He is representing the university as the head men's basketball coach, and they can't have him out there just spouting off stuff just all willy-nilly, and he not pay consequences or have the athletic director or the school's president come down and say, tap him on the shoulder, coach, look, man, you can't be saying all this stuff. You have to apologize to this reporter. He's just trying to do a job. He's just asking questions, and you just go off on him and make comments about his size, his height at 5'2", and all this other stuff. You can't do that. You're representing us as a university.
And then let's touch on this other knucklehead, Greg McDermott over at Creighton, who offered to resign. The school didn't take his offer, and you know him. You probably know his son better, Dougie Buckets.
Yep.
He had the audacity to say to his team, basically, we need to all stay on this plantation together. And what the hell is that?
Paul, when I first read that article and saw those quotations, what he had said, I was just like, really? You really came out and said that, and thinking that was okay to say? Mm-mm, no. And don't back out of this thing by offering to resign. You said what you said, so own up to it, and don't try to just back out the easy way by offering to resign.
Well, rumor has it that he met with his coaches, he met with his players. Some players are reportedly a little uneasy. There are times where you have to everyone deserves a second chance. I get that. And everyone deserves an opportunity to make it right. But there should be some type of consequence, some type of fine, some type of something. I'm not saying he should be fired, but there has to be something. What I want more than anything is for him to answer what made that phrase come to his mind. Like, what was it that triggered that phrase? It wasn't even off the ship, off to this. It was plantation. What made him go there, or even what made him feel comfortable enough to use that analogy? See, I think so quick today, we say, fine, get out, go. But we don't know what's permeating those thoughts. I want to know what's leading you to say it, or what made you think that that was a good analogy. I think that's more educational for those around him than just being done with him, letting him go.
You're right. Just like the situation at the University of Iowa with that coach that got fired because of the racial situation that he had created there, and the man that ended up getting that job with the Jacksonville Jaguars, how Urban Meyer hired him, and then the next day he decided to step down, and the Jaguars moved on from him. It's wow, Paul. It's just, these are just crazy times, and for him to come out like you said, I need everybody to stay on the plantation, quote unquote. I can't have anybody leave the plantation. I just shook my head when I read those quotes. That in this day and age, these kind of thoughts and this kind of mentality is still here. And for a head coach to come out and say that, that's inexcusable. And like you said, he just can't take the easy route out and just offer to resign. As you said, he's got to be able to stand up and be accountable for what he said. He's got to be stand up in front of his players and tell them why he said that, and just suffer the backlash that he's going to get from his players, because from all accounts, it says in this article from the Four Letter, it said McDermott was on the sideline. He got a fist bump from all but one player, and some of the players didn't ask for him to resign, and it just hurt their feelings that he would say something like that. And amidst everything that we're going on with the racial tensions that's going on right now, and the country being in complete disarray from a racial standpoint, for him to do that just adds fuel to the fire, and we don't need that right now. This is the last thing we need right now from, as we're trying to heal from everything that's going on around us, Paul.
Yeah. So we'll find out what happens with this. Like I said, I want the explanation. And a lot of times, like when people do stuff, I say the only person that they ever have to explain stuff to is the person they offended. But when you say that, you got to come out and you got to say something. And I would be interested in hearing what a kid would say, what his parents would say the next time he goes into a living room trying to recruit. But listen, let's change up.
Yes.
I want to talk cars a little bit. So let's say you go out today and you buy a real nice Camry or Maxima or Jetta or something really nice. Great cars, run good, great gas mileage, just good cars. And no one would ever put that car down. But then you have a shot to have a Maybach, to have a Lamborghini. Now, they all drive. They all go from 0 to 60. But there's something about other car.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're picking a team for an all-star, you can have a great car. You can have a great pick, but then there are these picks that are just far and above beyond what a mere mortal would pick. And that sort of happened a little bit earlier today. So on Courtside with PLR and Ed Cole, that you can check out live every Thursday, 11:30, Facebook Live. We had a draft because tonight KD and LeBron will pick their squads for the All-Star game. Ed and I decided that we're going to do it. We're going to pick the squad because Adam Silver called and said, hey, you guys do this for us, and we'll go basically off of what you pick. We'll use that as our guideline. So we picked just like you would at a playground. Why don't you give your team?
Okay. I was team KD. I was Kevin Durant. And I like my team. My team is awesome, everybody. So I picked the man who had 40 and 19 last night, one of the leaders in the MVP race, Joel Embiid for the Philadelphia 76ers. Then I went with Luka Doncic, Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, Jason Tatum, James Harden, the triple-double machine, Defensive Player of the Year candidate, Ben Simmons, Zach LaVine, who's tearing it up with the Chicago Bulls, Nikola Vucevic, balling out there in Orlando, Hall of Fame, soon to be Hall of Fame whenever he retires, CP3, Julius Randle, his first All-Star selection, so we know he's going to kill it on Saturday night in Atlanta, Domantas Sabonis, the double-double machine. That's my team. Very good
That's
team.
That's a nice team. That's a very good
mm-hmm.
team.
Oh, nice.
And that
nice.
Team.
Is that all that, you, nice?
What, yes. Huh? It's a nice team. It was well thought out, well picked. He did a good
mm-hmm.
job. Here's where Ed made mistakes. He did the stick it to you draft. So he tried to stick it to me by taking certain people. But by doing that, he left off people. So Ed did a very nice job of breaking down everybody individually. He had to, because he had to give his case. And I don't blame him. When you pick, you got to give your case. Now, on the other hand, I don't have to make a case for every person. Because this team is so strong, the names will make the case for me. So let me get started.
Mm-hmm.
Team LeBron, Jokic, Kyrie Irving, the Greek Freak,
mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal from Ed's hometown, we looked over. Kawhi, D-Book, Zion, I'm tapping my watch right now, Dame Time, Gobert, PG-13, a superhero, and Spider-Man, the Spider, Donovan Mitchell. and Jaylen Brown. So Ed talked about
pretty good team. Sorry.
Ed talked about let me ask you a question. On your team, you said Ben Simmons, possible defensive player of the year. On your team, who's won that award, by the way? Just out of curiosity. I'll give you a second.
Who's won defensive player of the year?
Yeah. Just one. Just anybody on your team?
Nobody.
I'm waiting for it. Oh, you said nobody. When I look at this team, Giannis, has he been defensive player of the year?
Couple times. Yeah, quite a few times. Mm-hmm. Two-time MVP, two-time reigning MVP. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gobert, has he been defensive player of the year?
He has. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. PG-13 broke in the league because of his what? His D what? Yeah, defense. And Kawhi Leonard's been known to with the claw and everything. So
Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate. Luka's an MVP candidate. Steph is the greatest shooter we've ever seen. James Harden's a triple-double machine. He's in the MVP hunt.
You have James Harden, who's
Chris
won
Paul
MVP.
Has the team in prime position. Chris Paul has a team in prime position in the Western Conference, Paul.
Who's on that team?
Well,
Who's on that team with CP3?
That would be D-Book. Yeah, Devin Booker, yes.
Yeah, he's over with my squad. And MVP.
He's on your squad, yep.
LeBron, he's won an MVP, right?
Yes.
Yeah, not one.
And
not two. Not three. So he's an MVP person last time. Look, two. Finals MVP from a couple years ago. Who was that again?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quiet. And the reigning two-time MVP, Greek Freak. Oh,
that'd be Giannis. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be yeah. Rookie of the Year was Spider Valley. Spider Mitchell. So I'm looking at this roster, and I'll go back to saying what I said. Nice team. I'm gonna put this up on the Twitter. At Sports Game, obviously, copy it. And you're going to get the vote. Who has the best squad?
Jason
I don't like
Tatum,
to hurt feelings.
Jason Tatum.
Celtics. Oh, he can play. He can play.
Yeah.
Who's his teammate that's an all-star as well?
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen's
nice,
and
too.
He's on you picked him? Did you pick him?
No, you did. No.
I did. And then you picked ahead of me and you said, I'm going to go and get your guy. So you went and drafted Zach. Okay. But you forgot about your guy. Who leads the NBA in scoring this year?
Bradley Beal, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Paul, who on your team can stop Luka? Who can stop Luka off the dribble and from three-point range? Who's going to defend him?
Who put the Dallas Mavericks out of the final? I mean, out of the playoffs last year.
That'd be the Clippers.
Okay. And who are the wing players on the Clippers on defense? Just out of curiosity.
You got a point there.
Quiet. Yeah. I'll let you ask that question. Who's going to stop him one more time? I just
nobody on your team. Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody.
Yo, man.
That's who?
This was a blast. This was a blast, like it always is. Tell everyone where they can check you out, and don't get your feelings hurt when the votes come back. Hey, don't be an NBA ref, Drake, and get all up in your feelings.
Yeah, and start calling tees everybody everywhere and throwing people out.
Exactly. Yo, bro.
On Twitter at EdCole43, Instagram at EdwardCole301, right here on the Sports Cave and Inside Sports Talk every week with Sister Joanna. And you, when your schedule's not so busy.
Crazy. It's amazing what coaching hoops does to your life.
Congratulations on your championship.
6-0,
Coach.
6-0, division. Thank you, division. Division two champs.
Don't mean mug when you take a championship picture, bro. Your kids are more excited than you are to take a picture.
Well, that's because you know it's for them. It was hot. I was outside. Check us out at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Caves with K. SportsCave.com. Caves with the K. And you get me directly on the Twitter at PLR Sports. Thanks to Maduro's for hosting us like they do every single Thursday for Cigars with the Cave Show. Thanks to my main man, the one only Ed Cole. And callers, thanks for calling in. Until next week, possibly, remember, tomorrow, tentatively scheduled for a best of show. So check us on Twitter for the definite answer. Until then, this is the Cave Show,
KD.
PLR, and Ed Cole. Timbs, bring us home and don't hurt Ed's feelings. LeBron! Why?
Joel!